Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Doug, we're finally here, man.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Could be some trouble in...
You could be?
Yeah.
No, there is trouble. Not could be, there is.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
For the win! Pack them up and send them home, Grant Napier!
Oh, boy! And a good afternoon. Doug is in the air, flying to L.A. with the team. I will be flying down there tonight. They don't let me just go on a plane all the time. I'm not Doug Christie. So, you know, Doug gets to hang out, first class seat, being waited on, listen to a little music, hoping that the plane doesn't hit any turbulence because he's a scaredy cat. And I'm sitting here in the beautiful studios in downtown Sacramento doing the job. It's all good. It's all good. I've always said one day I hope to grow up and be just like Doug Christie. But anyway, I love being here. We got a lot to talk about because last night's game, I don't even know how to break the game down. As I was announcing the game, you know, you have intuitions when you're doing a game. There are times when the Kings are losing by a wide margin where I think they're going to win. And then there are times when the team is winning by a wide margin and I think they're going to lose. Last night, I turned to Doug during a commercial with 4 minutes left, right around. And I said, Kings are going to lose this game. And he looked at me and said, you know, I think so too. I said, they're going to lose this game. Memphis had all the momentum. The Kings were throwing the ball over the lot. They were not getting any good shots. They were not getting to the foul line. And the 18-point lead turned to a one-point lead. And that final minute of the fourth quarter, I mean, how does that happen? I mean, De'Aaron Fox steals the ball from Morant with what? Was it 28 seconds remaining? And I said, and the Kings are going to beat the Grizzlies for the second time this year. And then what happens? Missed free throw after missed free throw after missed free throw. Fouling three-point shooters. And I would also say this, and I don't normally come on the radio and start off my show this way. The officials last night were horrible. That was the worst officiated game that I have seen this year. That was an embarrassment. That was terrible. And again, I'm pro-official, and I don't have any problem sticking up for the officials because I think a lot of times they get dumped on unnecessarily. Last night was not one of those times. That was terrible. What a horrible job. Awful. I mean, just awful. But how about making some free throws? I mean, how about Nemanja Bjelica? I don't even know. I'm going to ask him when I see him in L.A. tomorrow. When's the last time he missed two free throws in a row? I mean, brutal. De'Aaron Fox has been struggling with his free throws all year. But he was tremendous in the fourth quarter, but he missed a couple. Corey Joseph missed one. Thank goodness for Buddy Hield. How does that game end up like that? Oh, you're going to be happy with the win. And you should be happy with the win. And for the most part, I thought the Kings played very well. I said this before the game, and I'm going to say it now after the game. The Sacramento Kings are a better team than Memphis Grizzlies. And the only reason why Memphis is currently in the playoff race is because they've been healthy. The Kings are a better team than Memphis. The Kings would easily be a top eight team this year had it not been for all their injuries. There's not no doubt in my mind. Really, not a doubt in my mind. A couple of other things we learned again last night. John Morant might be a great player someday. He might be an all-star. I don't have a crystal ball. He's not better than De'Aaron Fox. That much we know. We've seen it three times in a row. Now, again, he shouldn't be better than De'Aaron Fox right now. And if he is better than De'Aaron Fox, then you have a problem. Because De'Aaron Fox is in his third year, and Morant is a rookie. And so De'Aaron Fox should be better than Morant, and he is better than Morant. So end the conversation right there. Memphis is 28 and 27. Would someone please explain to me why Jaren Jackson Jr., who came into the league as a rookie and was killing teams, playing with his back to the basket on the block, now all of a sudden is a three-point shooter? Again, I don't understand the way the game's being played anymore. I really don't. It makes no sense to me. Is Memphis ahead of schedule? Yes, they are. I don't think anybody predicted them to be here. They're 28 and 27. But I think the Kings are a better team. And I think that the game on Friday is going to be a lot of fun in Memphis. Because the Kings play the night before in Oklahoma City. And with the win last night, Sacramento 22 and 33. Again, I keep on saying this, and I'm going to say it just for those of you that don't quite understand. If the Kings had three more wins and Memphis had three more losses, the Kings and the Grizzlies would be tied with the same record. That's how fine that it's such a fine line between being a playoff team and not being a playoff team. And the Kings have no one to blame but themselves with some of the games that they've lost. However, and Doug and I went through this the other day, the Memphis Grizzlies have been healthy all year. The Kings have not. That's why the Kings are where they are, plain and simple. Kings have been playing much better as of late. After that debacle in Detroit a couple of weeks ago, the Kings are now 7-4 now in their last 11 games. The reason why I bring that up is if the Kings started off the season 7-4, you would, you know, people would be like ecstatic. Now, it's an 82-game season. It's not an 11-game season. And the Kings are going to have a very difficult time tomorrow because they beat the Clippers down in L.A. the last time they were there. That's a 12:30 start. Of course, you'll have it. You can listen to it right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. By the way, the Clippers have a crazy schedule in the sense that tomorrow is their first game back from the break. They played Thursday in Boston and lost a double overtime game. And they have not played a game since Thursday. That's a long time to go without playing a game. So if you want to talk about last night's game, anything that happened in that game, we'll do it at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. If I were to say to you that the Memphis Grizzlies would not make the playoffs this year, which team would you say would? Would you pick a team like the Pelicans with the way that Zion Williamson has been playing? And in my opinion, I understand he hasn't played maybe enough games. He's the best rookie, not Ja Morant. And in my opinion, it's not close. Now, Morant's going to win the Rookie of the Year because he's played in every game and or he's played in most of the games in all likelihood. If Williamson plays in every game the rest of the way, if, and the Pelicans are knocking on the door for the playoffs, I think he's going to be the Rookie of the Year. That's a big if. Tonight, a big game up in the Pacific Northwest because you have the Pelicans who are right where the Kings are, basically. And they're taking on a Portland team without Damian Lillard. The Grizzlies, meanwhile, are in L.A. taking on the Lakers. So you have the Spurs taking on the Jazz in Utah. So if you want to have some fun here, assuming that the Memphis Grizzlies lose tonight against the Lakers, and I think they will, that would put them at 28 and 28. And if the Pelicans were able to beat Portland, Portland would have the same number of losses as the Pelicans, with 32 and only four back in a loss column. Now, I say only four back. I don't think fans realize how many games four in the loss column is when you only have 27 games left. I mean, that's not just a little lead. That's a very big lead. So keep that in mind. A four-game lead in the loss column with 27 games left is a substantial lead. Substantial. But again, if Memphis doesn't make the playoffs, who are you picking out of the West to get in? Lillard's going to be out at least a couple of games. They've lost two in a row. I don't see the Spurs having enough to get it done, although I've said this before and I always bite my tongue when we get to April because they're in the playoffs. I don't see it this year. Again, the Pelicans at 23 and 32, they would have to go on quite a run themselves. All right, let's get to some phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We are going to talk some NBA basketball coming up with Kurt Heelan, NBA reporter for NBC Pro Basketball Talk. All right? Doug's going to call us at 5 from L.A. Joe Sheehan, MLB writer for Sports Illustrated and Baseball America. Talk to him about the domino effect of what's gone on with the Houston Astros. All right, let's get to Patrick. Patrick, you'll start us off on this Friday. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant, love the show, man. Been a fan of your show for a long time.
Well, thank you,
Patrick.
Great
job.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to the fans last night. I mean, I know there's been a lot of injuries for our team and everything, and the place was rocking last night. I mean, I was at home watching the game, and I can only imagine being there. It was probably sound great, but the Sacramento Kings played great last night. I mean, I know I didn't watch the second half, but I watched the first half. But I'm gonna go home and watch the second half and see how they did. I know you were explaining how they did in the second half, third, fourth quarter, missing free throws and stuff. So if they can get that taken care of, I think they'll be all right in the second half. What you think?
I don't know. When you say, what's your definition of all right?
I guess that's making free throws. I mean,
yeah.
when they post the count, you know, when we need free throws and they miss them, it kind of hurts us in the end there a little bit.
Well, it hurt more than a little bit. And yeah, thank you for the call, Patrick. I mean, that game should not have been close last night. It should not have been close. And it was. Let's get to Ramiz. Hello, Ramiz.
Hey, Grant. How you doing, sir?
How are you?
Hey, pretty good. On your first question, I think you can never count on Popovich. I think the Spurs will get that AC.
Okay.
I don't think the Grizzlies are that good. But like you said, John Morant, he can't blow by De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is faster than him. He's a way better defender and better scorer. You know, I hear all these people here, oh, John Morant is good as De'Aaron Fox. And I don't think so.
You got to keep in mind, everything you just said is accurate, but Morant is a kid in his rookie season. You can't dismiss that.
Well, he's got an ugly shot, Grant. His shot does not look good, especially from the three-point line. But another point I want to bring up, man, is Kent Bazemore, Grant. Can we say Kent Bazemore? I hope Vlade signs a bag next year, man. His defense is tremendous. He's, like, switching and switching off players. And his outside shot, that three-point shot, man, it's tremendous. I just like the way he balls. I just hope he comes back as a king next year. Thanks a lot, Grant.
All right, thank you. I mean, Kent Bazemore was outstanding last night. No question. Outstanding. That's why it's so – what word am I looking for here? I don't want to say disheartening, but it's such a bummer that it's almost March and the Kings have been playing so much better as of late. And yet, to make a legitimate run and get back into this thing is going to be near impossible. I didn't say impossible. I said near impossible. We don't know about Bagley, other than he's not playing for at least 3 weeks. We don't know about Rashawn Holmes. Don't be surprised if Alex Len plays tomorrow. And boy, they can use a big body. Jabari Parker last night, rusty in my opinion. But I love the way this team's playing right now. I mean, they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I like what I'm seeing. Let's get to Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Grant. Yeah, look, obviously it seems as though for the Kings to have a shot at this, Memphis and some things are going to have to happen. And I think I was listening to your guys' show earlier in the week. Memphis has a really difficult schedule over the next 3 weeks.
Yes, they do.
Month, I think.
Yes, they do.
So let's say they were to, you know, go on a, you know, sub 500, somewhat of a losing streak, and the Kings were to keep playing at the pace they're playing at. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, here's
the
problem with that. And I understand where you're coming, but here's your problem. If you're in ninth place, then I'm saying, okay, fine. But the Kings are behind Portland, they're behind San Antonio, and they're behind New Orleans. So it's not about catching Memphis. You got to leapfrog over four teams if you're Sacramento. Yeah. And in my opinion, all right, now with 27 games left, you're going to have to end up with a record the rest of the way, a minimum of 19-8.
20 wins.
19-8 to get you to 41-41. And I got to tell you, I hope it happens, but I don't think that's realistic.
You're probably right. Hey, a couple questions I have for you. How do you think, and I'll take it off the air, how do you think Jabari Parker plays through the rest of the year, his role with the team based on the injuries we have? And then the other question I have for you is, what's going on with De'Aaron Fox, man? I love the guy. He's such a great player, but it's from night to night, you don't know if he's going to be horrific at the free throw line or he's going to, you know, hit 10 for 10. He's like so inconsistent. It's bizarre.
It is very, and thank you so much for the call. It is bizarre. I wish I had an answer for you. I mean, he needs to be an 80% free throw shooter. No question. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing?
I'm good, John. What's up?
Hey, first of all, I think you guys did a great job keeping the energy going at the end of the game. It was nerve-wracking. And I think it took about 20 minutes to play a minute or something like that.
You know, it brought me back the memory of the late Skip Carey, who was the announcer for the Atlanta Hawks. You know, he's part of the, you know, he was Harry Carey's son, the father of Chip Carey. So just trying to make sure it's the same family. He was announcing an Atlanta Hawks game once, and the game was like last night where it didn't end. Now, back when he was doing the games, you could call multiple timeouts and they were longer. And he made a comment during an Atlanta Hawks game in the final 2 minutes, and he said on the air, man, I'm telling you something, the final 2 minutes of these NBA games have lasted longer than some of my marriages.
That's
how about that?
That's good.
Yep.
But not true in your case. So
no.
But hey, Grant. So the comparison between De'Aaron Fox and Joe, obviously, personally, we don't get enough national. We haven't been winning, so we haven't had national TV games. But I think once the media sees De'Aaron play, they're going to be blown away, especially with his. How he's improved this third year. But I will say a lot of people have compared Ja to Russell Westbrook because of his explosiveness at the rim. But I see a lot of comparison to De'Aaron with how fast Ja is. And how he's only like 150, 160 pounds, just like coming into the league. But I think he controls the floor really well. He has good vision.
Yeah, he does have great vision.
You know, I think they're very similar when they came into the league. I don't know how you feel about that, but when De'Aaron came in versus when Ja came in, I think they're very close. They're very similar players.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Again, I always take into account a guy who's in his first year in the NBA. Morant, he's good. He doesn't blow me away, and I've only seen him in person three times, and not once in the three times have I walked out of the gym saying, boy, I'm really impressed with Morant. So, again, but I also keep in, you know, again, he's a kid. He's a one and done. And I think he's going to be very good. But he doesn't, you know, blow me away. I will tell you that. I think he can be a good player in this league. You know, people are talking about him like he's the, you know, next great point guard in the NBA. I don't see it. I think he can be good. But I think people are getting a little carried away. But I would also say this in defense of Morant. He's the starting point guard on a team that's, you know, a game over 500 in the eighth spot in the West. And I can't ignore that. But if you told me right now, would I take De'Aaron Fox or John Morant if I was starting a team? I'm taking Fox and I'm not even thinking twice about it. Now, you might ask me that question 2 years from now and I might have a different answer. But today, I'm not even thinking about it. I have not been impressed in person with Morant. But he could also be just a bad matchup for him. You know, maybe he just can't play against De'Aaron Fox because he really hasn't played that well. But I'm looking at his numbers, and again, his numbers are very good. You know, he averages, what, almost 18 points a game. So I'm going, okay, that's good. He averages 7 assists a game. Well, that's really good. You know, I look at how he has shot the ball this year. He shoots the ball outstanding in terms of he gets to the basket. He's at 49%. That's excellent. He's 35% from three. Good. I mean, his numbers are really good. I can't fault him for his numbers. His assist-to-turnover ratio, 7 assists, 3 turnovers, needs to clean up a little bit. But again, that's not terrible. And again, he's a kid. You know, he's a pup. And he's 20 years old. And Memphis is, they got a very nice future with him. They have a very nice future. He's a good ball player. I just don't see greatness in him. But again, I've only seen him play in person 3 times. I'm not sitting around watching the Memphis Grizzlies every night. But again, I go back to he's the starting point guard on a team that is currently 8th in the West. And when you look at the standings in the West, you have Dallas is in 7th, 33-22. And then there's a real drop-off between 8 and 9, 4 games in a loss column. Between Dallas and the 4th-place Jazz, also a 4-game difference in a loss column, which is significant, especially when you're talking about the better teams, because chances are they're not going to go on a long losing streak, barring injury. Oklahoma City, they won 7 of 10. They're 33-22. Sacramento, we'll see Oklahoma City on Thursday. The first of a back-to-back, the next night they play in Memphis. Their schedule coming up this week. I'm talking about Oklahoma City. They have Denver at home tonight. They have San Antonio at home. They're at Chicago Tuesday. And then, as I said, home Sacramento. And then the next night they're at Milwaukee, home Clippers. That's a brutal schedule there. You know, if you're Sacramento, Harrison Barnes said it to me on the postgame show last night on TV. I asked him about, do the guys in the locker room still think they can do this and make a run here? And he said, you know, we're just really approaching this one game at a time. That's all we're thinking about. And I believe that to be true. All right, we'll come right back. Your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier. On this Friday edition, Doug is on his way to L.A. I have a question for Raider fan. There is speculation that Tom Brady is coveted by the Titans, the Raiders, and we believe the Patriots. There's nothing that I saw last year from Tom Brady that would make me want him as my quarterback if I'm the Tennessee Titans. I mean, what is it that Ryan Tannehill did not do last season that would make me want Tom Brady, the 42-year-old quarterback, who right now today is not better than Ryan Tannehill? I don't get that. I really don't. Now you go to the Raiders. So, Raider fan, do you want Tom Brady to open up your new stadium in Las Vegas in the silver and black? I am not a huge fan of Derek Carr. I think he's okay. I think he's average, maybe a little bit better than average, but I don't see him above that. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And it's obvious that John Gruden is not on board with Carr, or he would have shot down the rumors immediately. I'm not crazy about Carr. But I don't think that Tom Brady at age 42 is the answer. What do you think? If you're a fan of the Raiders, do you want Tom Brady as your quarterback? Let me know at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And if the answer to that is yes, that means you're done with Carr, correct? I mean, how else would you analyze that? If you say yes to Brady, then you're basically saying, yeah, I've had enough of Derek Carr. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Did you see Russell Westbrook get ejected from the game last night in the middle of a blowout where they were just destroying the Warriors? He's three technical shy, by the way, of an automatic one-game suspension. Maybe he's taking after DeMarcus Cousins, who's not playing this year. Maybe he's trying to pick up the slack because DeMarcus has been on the sideline rehabilitating from his ACL. Russell Westbrook said today, or actually he said after the game last night, I beg your pardon. I'm going to read this. I think it's a situation where I hold myself to a very, very high standard. I think the refs, the fans, media, the NBA are put in a position now where I'm not really allowed to do much. Obviously, I'm an emotional guy. But if you watch the clip, obviously I hit Lee, but it wasn't on purpose. I'm going to the glass. He got hit. He said something to me. I said something to him. I'm standing there. A guy came and snatched the ball out of my hands. Guy's coming up, running up to me. I didn't move. But I'm always the one that gets painted to be the bad guy in the whole situation. Now, let me ask you something. Where he says, I think the refs, the fans, the media, the NBA are put in a position now where I'm not really allowed to do much. What the hell does that mean? I mean, it's just amazing to me. But he did go on and say, I've got to do a better job of holding myself accountable to a very, very high standard. And I'll make sure I have no room for error to allow somebody and people paint me out to be a guy that I am not. I just think it's unfair that after all that, I'm the only one that gets a technical or kicked out. That's not fair. I don't care what nobody says. It's so many other people involved. They are doing so many things that weren't okay, but I'm the one that gets the tech, gets ejected, and then everybody else is cool and goes back and play. But like I said, I take responsibility for that, and I hold myself to a very high standard, of which I'll uphold. Well, first of all, you're not taking responsibility for that. You're blaming everybody else except for yourself. What a disgrace. Let's get to Jacob. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing today,
sir? What's happening? Good.
Nothing much. Wanted to touch on the Raiders subject. I've been a lifelong fan. I'm 34 years old now, and I don't know. It sounds like a typical ignorant Raider move if we were to sign Tom Brady, in my opinion. I hate to say it about one of the legends, even though I hate the guy, but I think he's finally over the hill. And I mean, what's that going to do for the Raiders? Give them a little shiny object for the Vegas people to look at.
I'm with you. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't benefit the team whatsoever. I mean, and I'm not a big Carr fan either. Like I said, the only way Carr could be not even a franchise quarterback, but I mean, he has to be surrounded like a Niner type defense, you know. And no, I mean, he could be a game manager, but, you know, like you said, he's not a franchise quarterback either. But I don't see Tom Brady being an upgrade over Carr. I mean, I'd rather dang near ride it out with Carr than get Brady or, you know, look for some other option.
Thanks for the call, man. I'm right. You and I are on the same page there. Thank you very much. Let's get to Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Grant. Hey, I got to tell you, Jacob stole my thunder, man. I'm right in line with you guys. I just can't see Brady in a Raider uniform, man. It just would not set right with me.
Well, forget about, you know, whether it sits right with you. Can he still play at a level that is necessary? And I don't think he's there. I think his game has really come down a couple of notches, and I just don't see that working.
Yeah, man. Father Time always wins, Brady won a lot, but he's not going to beat Father Time. I'm in complete agreement with you.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too, bud.
All right. Let's get to Ralph. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Hey, Grant. Happy Friday to you. With the game yesterday, And considering the game that, you know, Barnes played amazing and Bazemore and Giles, I don't want to nitpick because I'm happy that we won. But what keeps happening in the fourth quarter to where our offense becomes just so stagnant? And it happens like that all season to where it's like they forget completely how they played in the first half or the third quarter.
And yeah, last night was not good. I can't excuse it. The offense with 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter just ceased. It's just stopped, and there's no excuse for that. That's got to get better. That can't happen. You're exactly right.
Well, what's the reason? I mean, do you think they just get nervous? Resorting to iso ball never works for us. We don't have James Harden. We don't have those guys yet, you know? Why do we keep doing that, in your opinion?
I wouldn't say they keep doing it. I think they've actually gotten a little better in that area, but last night was not one of those times.
Right, and then talking about, you know, I know playoffs is far out, and, you know, if there even is a chance, we need help from Memphis. But, man, I feel like if we had a Rashawn Holmes, I would give ourselves a chance. But we need that paint presence to hopefully come back, and I hope we see him again this season.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's get to Dustin. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to mention Brady. I'm getting over the Tuck rule. I mean, that was such a long time ago. That wouldn't as much factor into my decision to not want him on the team.
Right.
I just think he's too far in. Let's just say we signed him for a 2-year deal. He's going to have to acclimate it to Gruden's system. Not that it would take him that long, but I feel like it's too much of a commitment for someone who's down the hill. If he can draw in the interest of other free agents, that would be great. I don't know how much he could do that. I don't know if he's worth the risk in that aspect.
Yeah, I don't know about him drawing in other free agents. I don't think that's realistic.
Right, and if that two years maybe left, it's just not worth it. I'd rather take my time with another quarterback ride out Carr.
Yeah, especially if it's 2 years like we saw this past season at the end of the year. At some point, you know, your talent's got to decline, and I think we saw that last year.
Sure, and with him being in the same system for so long, I mean, I just don't know how he would translate. I'm sure he would do fine, but it's just too much of a guess for me.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get to Travis. Hello, Travis.
Hey, I'm in Alabama, longtime listener, Kings fan, Raiders fan, living in Alabama. And I'm ready to move on from Derek Carr. I think the Raiders should draft a quarterback, have him learn from a veteran like Tom Brady for a couple years, and then hand the reins over. What do you think about that?
I don't know if you would hire. I don't know if you would sign Tom Brady just to, you know, be a tutor for an incoming quarterback. I understand the point you're trying to make. If I'm the Raiders, I don't want to wait 2 years for a young quarterback. In other words, if I'm going to draft a quarterback, I'm drafting that quarterback with the notion that I think he's good enough and I'm going to have him play immediately. I'm not going to have him wait for 2 years. That's just me.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that opinion.
Hey, thank you. Where do you live in Alabama?
I live near Huntsville, Alabama, Space and Rocket Center.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking is, do you get a chance to go to either Auburn or Alabama games?
I go to Alabama games. I'm a huge Alabama
so,
fan.
Like, all right, so the reason why I'm asking is I got to have a bucket list, and I need to go to an SEC game. All right, how good is it to go to Tuscaloosa for an Alabama game?
It's better than good. It's heaven on earth. I've been to college games, and there ain't nothing like going to Tuscaloosa for an Alabama football game. They have this place called the Quad. It's just filled with tents and satellite dishes and TVs and food everywhere.
Wow.
There's probably 100,000 people in the stadium and another 20,000 outside the stadium on game day.
Boy, that's awesome. Yeah, I got to do it.
It is awesome.
Travis, thank you for the call. You have a good weekend.
All
I appreciate you taking the time to call the show, and thanks for listening in Alabama, man. We appreciate it.
Sure. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. Coming up in 15 minutes, Kurt Heelan, NBA reporter for NBC Pro Basketball Talk. Hope you are doing well. We take your phone calls at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, if you are a fan of the Raiders, do you want Tom Brady as your quarterback? I wouldn't. Not at this juncture of his career. It doesn't make sense to me. And if the Raiders are contemplating Tom Brady, that means they have no confidence at all in Derek Carr. That's what that means. I mean, if you're guy, if you have your quarterback and he's your guy, and the rumors of Tom Brady with Mark Davis and, you know, everything else, you're not, you're putting that down and go, no, Derek Carr is our quarterback. I haven't heard anybody from the Raiders say that. Have you heard that? Because I have not. Doesn't make sense to me. And I really mean that. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not sold on Derek Carr as my quarterback. But I don't think Tom Brady is a better option. All calls, all guests, come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Something else I want to ask. Chris, are you into this heavyweight fight tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah.
You are?
Watching the weigh-in right now.
Are you? What, all right, no, honestly. What is it about this fight that is so intriguing?
Two undefeated fighters, heavyweights, went to a draw last time. It's a boxer versus a guy that could just knock anybody out with any punch. It's exciting.
I used to love fights. I used to love the heavyweight fights. I mean, I grew up in the Ali, Frazier, Foreman era, Norman, you know, and, you know, the Tyson era, Holyfield. I've just lost so much interest in boxing, man. I really have. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think on Monday, when I come on the air at 3, we'll be talking about what a horrible decision were made by the judges and how everyone got ripped off that paid for the fight.
I don't think it's going to go to decision.
Yeah, but you still, all right, then we'll blame the referee for stopping the fight on TKO. Right? But you know how it is.
Yeah.
All right, who's going to win this fight?
I'm hoping Wilder's going to win it.
No, I didn't ask you who you hope was winning it. Who
I
is
think
going
Wilder's
to win?
Going
to
win
right.
it.
Okay. It's the sixth world heavyweight title fight between undefeated fighters. And I got to tell you, Jay, are you watching this fight?
Oh, yeah. Me and Chris are huge boxing guys.
All right, but so who are you picking?
I got Wilder. I think he's gonna finish the job this time. But I have a question for you, Napes.
Yes.
Someone who grew up in the era of the golden era of boxing, yep. most people you know, yep. consider. Why is it, because it's interesting to me, why is it someone who like you who loves sports, loved boxing at a point in time, it was one of the biggest yep. sports, if not the biggest sport yep. at a time, people listening on the radio, all those types of things. What made you lose the love of it?
A couple of things. First and foremost, the lack of a governing body. There's always amazing controversy, discrepancy. I think the sport's become an embarrassment compared to the way it used to be. And it's so much so that you have two undefeated fighters going tomorrow. And I will tell you, when I grew up watching, you said the golden era, it would be front page news, and we didn't have ESPN back then, and we didn't have social media. But you know what? Being on the playground, okay, at sixth grade, where not only the me and my friends were talking about the Frazier Ali fight, the girls were talking about it. Okay, everyone was talking about it. Everyone was consumed by it. I got to tell you something. You know, I think I'm pretty well connected in sports. And I don't hear people talking about this fight. I do see it on TV, but like when I'm out and about casually, I don't hear people like talking amongst themselves about this fight. You know, when Marvin Hagler, and you talk about the middleweight division and Tommy Hearns and Roberto Duran were getting ready to fight, everyone was talking about it. And you didn't have social media back then. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have the internet. And you know what? When Sugar Ray was fighting and Hagler was fighting and Hearns was fighting, I mean, when Hagler and Hearns would fight, everyone was talking about it way in advance of the fight. I don't get that anymore now. Maybe I'm, you know, living in a cave somewhere. It's not anywhere what it used to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not where it used to be. And I, you know, we could come up with 100 different reasons. It was interesting to hear the governing body part of it because of corruption, especially, you know, you see that yep. a lot in like Chris was talking about yesterday in soccer. And There's so many different belts. You know, there's many different reasons why I can see a lot of people not enjoying boxing the way they did in the golden era. But I do think there's some opportunity for boxing. And you see it kind of like with this fight now, especially with the heavyweight champ of Deontay Wilder, who's kind of becoming known and he's becoming a bigger sports name. You know, a lot of people are starting to see him, and ESPN is leading with boxing here and there now. A lot of times, especially if ESPN is broadcasting the fight, you'll see them lead with SportsCenter with it now.
Well, and you just hit it right on the head. The reason why they're leading with it is it's on ESPN Plus as the pay-per-view buy.
Yeah, they're in Showtime as well.
Yes.
Fox Sports.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. That's why. But, and again, I'm not saying it doesn't deserve any attention. I'm just saying from where I sit, boxing, and again, I understand there are a lot of people listening right now that can't identify because they're not from my generation, and I completely get that. Boxing is light years from where it used to be. I mean, it's not even in the same...
It's the horse racing argument. Like, as you've said a couple times, horse racing was huge when you came. Everyone stopped to do what they did.
Yes.
To watch the Preakness and the Belmont and, you know, the Triple Crown. And so the Kentucky Derby, especially because it leads off.
Same with the Indy 500. The Indy 500 was a can't-miss event when you had the Unsers and Foyt and Andretti and all of those phenomenal drivers. I mean, everyone watched the Indy 500. Now it's like, you know, it's nowhere near what it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. It's difficult. I guess it's kind of like I don't want to say it's a niche sport because I think it's bigger than that right now.
Right, I would agree it's bigger than a niche sport.
Yeah, especially with, you know, Floyd Mayweather's and the Manny Pacquiao's and some of the Canelo's and the Triple G's. There's some big names. There's some guys, you know, who move the needle. You see Conor McGregor moves the needle.
Floyd Mayweather was moving the needle.
Absolutely.
You know, Pacquiao moved the needle.
Absolutely.
And again, I understand that, but for me personally – and again, this is just me. I would take a Marvin Hagler, Thomas Hearns, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, any combination, 50,000 times over Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao.
The one thing is if Fury wins tomorrow night, you're going to have 80, 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium to see him fight Anthony Joshua.
Now, that would be unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
How many people would pass out before the fight started?
Not that many. They're prepared for something like that.
That is funny. Yeah, they have their tolerance built up. Is that what? Yeah, they're ready to go. Is that what you're telling me? Chris knows from firsthand experience after being over there in December for the cheating Man City team. When's that going to be resolved?
Hopefully the summer.
Got to wait all the way to summer?
Or in a couple of years. Or...
Nah, you know, guilty. Guilty. All right. We're going to talk with Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com. He is an NBA writer, managing editor there, and we'll talk to him when we come back on Sports 1140 KHDK.